Om Shanti. It is said that the great men take oath only once. And once they have decided upon something, then they don't go back. Oath is like a seed. You have to nourish it with divine water of Gyan. You have to provide it with ingredients of yoga. It should be exposed to the sun rays. The history of the world is the history of few men who had a terrible desire to achieve something. History of the world is the history of handful of men who have decided upon something and they achieved it, no matter what came in their path. And they are very few. And what made them great was the intensity of their desire, the total commitment to their goal. You can achieve anything and everything in this life, provided the will is strong, provided your efforts are right. The willpower, no desire to achieve comforts, to seek the life of indulgence in the face of all the circumstances, to remain stable, unflappable. That's the goal. So in yesterday's Murli, Sakar Murli, Baba had mentioned, and multiple times we have seen him mentioning, Bhishma. The word Bhishma means terrible, fierce. There's a very interesting character from Mahabharata. He's the only one who has seen all the happenings, right from the beginning till the end. He is the witness to everything that has happened, right from the kingdom of Shantanu till the end of Mahabharata war. So Baba has told us multiple times who you are, especially Kumars. Baba says, you are Bhishma. So one of the meanings is this. Bhishma is someone who is detached observer. Bhishma is someone who has seen the drama right from the beginning till the end. And he is very experienced. He is aged. He is devoted to his father. He is devoted to the kingdom. He is warrior. He is very potent. He is very powerful warrior. Yesterday's Murli Baba said there is effort, manat. It's difficult. Because he took the path of lifelong celibacy, brahmacharya. He gave up all the material and marital pleasures. There are various quotes in Mahabharata. At one place he says, even if you get the kingdom of the three worlds, give it up. Even if you get the sovereignty of some kingdom, give it up. But never give up celibacy. That much importance has been attached to celibacy. So this figure, Bhishma, is indicative of lifelong celibacy. On one side, there is somebody who has read all the scriptures. On another side, there is a man of brahmacharya. Mahabharata says, this man would weigh more. They say that even one night of celibacy is equivalent to 100 yajñas performed. But it should be real celibacy. Celibacy is not about suppression or repression. Celibacy is the divinization. Celibacy is the sublimation of the desires. The desires which were going down, the desires which were bringing you restlessness, now they have become purified. And unless and until this leakage of energy is stopped, you cannot enter into the deeper realm of spirituality. Because the greatest leakage of energy is lust. There are other vices, but lust is the commander. Once you capture the commander, you can easily defeat the army. But if the commander remains uncaptured, it's difficult to deal with other vices. The first victory is the victory of lust. And after that, you get to know that there is a deep anger within you, which otherwise remains hidden. You got to know that there is so much jealousy in me. That's why so many times we try to malign others. Because to see that somebody is going ahead of you creates fire, uneasiness. But you can't see it. You just can't see it. These are very subtle vices. Unless and until the first is defeated, these things remain hidden. They remain the part of you without your knowing them. Once Dadi Janki had asked Baba, what are the different types of intellect? And during the course of conversation, they hit upon the word Satoguni intellect. So Dadi asked Baba, Baba, what is Satoguni intellect? Baba said, I'll tell you soon by some practical example. Wait. After a few days, Dadi went to Baba and said, some particular brother has done some mistake. He's committing blunder after blunder. And that's a part of his nature to commit such mistakes, silly mistakes. Baba said, this is the answer to your question. A Satoguni intellect will not see others' fault. A Satoguni intellect sees but doesn't see, hears but doesn't hear. Satoguni intellect is something where there is a desire, pure wishes, that other person should change. But there is no need to describe. There is no need to talk about it. There is no need to discuss. There is no need to spread the negative vibes. It doesn't mean that you become a fool. It doesn't mean that you close your eyes and stop seeing things. It doesn't mean that you walk blindfold. You see everything, but there is a deeper desire for corrections. There is a deeper feeling of bringing benefit to all. And even if I discuss, even if I talk about it, it doesn't do much good to that person. It only satisfies my ego by talking about somebody's faults. Okay, that person A has got a particular fault and I don't have that fault, but I have a different fault. Just as I am working on myself, he might also be working. Even if he is not working, who am I to judge him? Who has given me the authority to judge him? Bible says, judge not and he shall not be judged. Okay, even if he is working on that, but probably he doesn't know the right path or is still searching. Just as there are 100 layers of my own personality, am I aware of all those layers? Not all of them. There are so many aspects of my being. So many times I speak such words and so many times I do such actions that after speaking or after doing that, I get to know this should not have been spoken or this should not have been done. So why did I do that? From where the impetus came? So there are few unknown spots of my personality, some dark regions, some gray zone within me, which are ill understood. I try to understand, it's so difficult. So just as I have certain faults, certain imperfections within me, so also others have. So that is the sign of Satoguni intellect. And you also come to realize that it is sheer waste of time to discuss somebody's faults, to talk about others behind their back, to arrive at conclusions about them. What we know of other person, Husband and wife stay with each other 40 years, 50 years, yet they cannot claim that they have known each other. So how can I say that I have known others? In fact, I do not know anything about anybody. So best is to keep the mouth shut. Yes, that's a different thing. If you are some responsible person and there are people working under you and you have to correct them and you have to show them the way and you have to guide them, you are an official guide, that's a different matter. But otherwise, better not to judge. So that is the, see, only in the Satoguni intellect, only Satoguni intellect comes only with that purity in the intellect. Yesterday we also discussed, and that was in the Sunday's Murli, divine intellect. It has got right decision, right discrimination, right understanding. Three things. Understanding about yourself, understanding others, understanding family, understanding God. Discriminate things. Correct discrimination. To do or not to do. To be or not to be. To go or not to go. To listen or not to listen. So life is all about decisions. From dawn till dusk, we have to take so many decisions. So when there is purity, then only correct decisions take place. And our life depends upon decisions. What we decide. There are so many people who want to come to Madhuban, but at the last moment, they change their decision. There are so many who don't want to come, and the last moment, they come. So it is just the flip of decisions. And if you want your decisions to be correct, and if you don't want to repent for the wrong decisions, the power of purity is must. Without the power of purity, decisions would go wrong. Decisions would be haywire. The best is to imbibe this purity. There are methods to imbibe purity. There are souls who don't have to take any pledge. They are born very pure because of the past birth sanskars. They have no experience, no taste of lust. And they say that the taste of lust and fall of man. The taste of lust and the fall of man. Blessed are those who are pure, for they shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are like child, for they shall inherit the kingdom of this earth. Blessed are those who are innocent. Blessed are those who have never gone into the intricacies of marriage and married life. Those who are kumars and those who are kumaris. Blessed are those who have tasted the super sensuous bliss that flows from God. So purity is perhaps the greatest virtue. It is not just celibacy, it is not just conquest of lust, or it is not just the conquest of senses. Purity is about highest living, highest form of life that is possible. Purity is about higher consciousness. It's the freedom from matter consciousness. It is the freedom from mud consciousness. It is the freedom from soil consciousness. It is the freedom from lower consciousness. It is the freedom from world consciousness. It is the freedom from everything which is base. Everything which is filthy. Everything which is dirty. Dirty. It takes you towards higher realm of spirituality. It frees you from narrow-mindedness, the tubular vision. That's why purity has been regarded as the highest of virtues. Purity is like, there's a house, a guest enters, he sits on the sofa, and there are creases on the sofa. Another guest enters, he takes a chair and keeps it at other place. The third guest enters, he throws open the door, the windows. The fourth guest comes. The music is gone. It is going to be a party. The fifth guest comes. There is noise. The sixth guest comes. And they start dancing. The owner of the house is still sleeping. Party finishes. Purity is destroyed. Lot of work is pending now. Purity is about house cleaning. Purity is about cleansing the mind of the opinions, the comments, the past, the future, the worries, the stresses, the tension, the anxiety, the fears. Purity is the more you clean, the more you realize that how much damage has been happened. It is realizing the damage. It is realizing the leakage. It is realizing the time that is wasted. So, coming to the story, Bhishma is known as Devavrata, is known as Ganga Putra. He found out that his father is unhappy, depressed, not talking with anyone. And he finds out that my father is in love with a fisherwoman. So he straight away goes to the father of that fisherwoman, Satyavati's father. And he keeps the proposal. This is such a strange thing. Son is going for father's proposal. But the fisherman, he says that I have one condition. What? I want the son born out of your father and my daughter should become the king or prince who would claim to the throne. Bhishma says, yes, I give up my rights. He ceded the rights. But then he says, if you get married and you get son, there would be fight between the son of my daughter and your sons. What about that? So if in that case, he says, I will take the pledge of lifelong celibacy. And this is such a great pledge. And he followed it throughout his life. There were so many temptations which came that made him to break that vow. But he did not break that vow. His pledge, his oath was firm. So Baba says you have to take the pledge. So one of the methods, one of the means to achieve that purity is pledge. Mahatma Gandhi has written in his autobiography that I had started my attempts for Brahmacharya for a very long time, but officially I took the vow in 1906 with the permission of my wife. I was already into it, but there were pitfalls. It's only in 1906 that I took a pledge. And he says that now when I look back, it's almost 30 years or more, and life has become so pleasurable. Every time the principle of purity, when it is broken, it brings sorrow. Even if it is broken in the mind, speech, feelings, emotions, even if the principle of celibacy is broken in dreams, there is resultant frustration, repentance, restlessness. Every time purity is broken, it brings with it an unusual restlessness. Or, if there is restlessness happening now, probably the hidden cause is impurity. God is ocean of purity. So if you want to go towards Him, you have to go in purity. And if there is a restlessness, probably you are moving away from Him. So the equation is very clear. If there is restlessness, if there is disturbance, if the mind is filled with some fear, some insecurity, probably you are moving away from the Son of Purity. The more you move towards Him, the more powerful you become. And life is so disturbing. There are so many diverse things happening. Whole day, if you see, in one day, there is a critical patient in ICU, 10 things happen with him. Sometimes BP falls, sometimes saturation falls, something output drops, something or other is happening. So also, in the life of human being, 10 things are happening in every single day. Somebody is speaking something, somebody is talking against you, somebody is maligning you, somebody is praising you. Sometimes some good news, sometimes bad news. Sometimes there is a weather change, sometimes there is calamities, sometimes death of somebody, sometimes your own physical health issues. So something or other is happening in the whole day. How to remain stable in the face of these happenings? The experience says that if your brahmacharya and purity remains intact, you remain very stable in all this. Sometimes you have to change your place, change of location, You have to go and stay for 4 days in some other new place. Your mind will become free, full of questions, hundreds of questions. This is not there, that is not there, how will we survive? This will happen, that will happen. So all the uncomfortable things, all the discomforts you can face very easily if there is a hidden power of purity within. Sometimes you are extremely busy, you have no time even to sleep. But purity helps you even there. So the power of purity and the power of God's love, these are the greatest forces in the world. So the terrible vow, the terrible pledge, the terrible oath, the terrible resolution of Bhishma, we have to show in our practical life. So, whilst you all are in Madhavan, take the pledge of purity. Every Amrit Vela, Baba says, vow, take a vow in front of Baba. No matter what happens, the purity would remain unbroken, undivided, unpunctured. Nobody can come and break it. No Tom, Dick or Harry, Chini, Mini, Chow, Meow, can come and break this vow of purity. Stay firm and keep reading about it. Keep a chart of purity. What happens when it is broken? What happens when it remains intact? Om Shanti.